is up, everyone? Welcome to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Monday, September 27th, 2021. And I am Chip. I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If I can share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Pandora. If you'd like to watch us, you can watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football. You know, that's where you'll find us doing the videos on Tuesday and Saturday. On Tuesday, I do my top waiver wire pickups, and then on Saturday, I do my injury updates for that current week. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss those episodes as well. But also, you can find all those episodes on this platform on the podcast too. So you won't be missing anything if you're listening to the podcast or watching it on YouTube. But it does help for you to hit subscribe and whatnot. I do appreciate all the listeners that I'm seeing week in and week out. I'm seeing the numbers grow. I'm seeing consistent listeners. So I do appreciate that. So let's continue to grow this podcast. You know, it's year two for me. So let's hope that we can continue to grow the podcast and whatnot. But before we go into all of the news and all of the week three reactions, I'm going to go ahead and vent a little bit about my matchup. You guys hear me talk a lot about my main league in here and on the podcast, and I am 0-3. I was playing probably one of the worst teams in the league, you know, I'm the worst based on winning percentage, but based on his lineup that he had today, my team was definitely better going into the game. However, my team got decimated quickly. So, you know, I started off, you know, I had Dalvin Cook, you know, he was out, he was inactive. I don't carry Madison on my roster, so I could not pick him up. You know, I had to, you know, Daryl Henderson Jr. was inactive. So then I was stuck with this. I had to play James White, you know, so James White, I play him, gets me 0.6 points, leaves with a hip injury. He gets carted off the field. So three running backs for me went down. They had to replace. So I had to play Myles Gaskin, James White, and then I played Javonte Williams in my flex because that was pretty much the best upside I had for a player in that position. And it did not do... I mean, Javonte Williams had a good game, but it just... I had to play three Broncos. I had to play Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, and Javonte Williams. And I'm very surprised on how ineffective those guys were, other than Javonte Williams, because he got me the touchdown. But I mean, I have Josh Allen on my team, so my strategy in a lot of leagues is studs and duds, and I generally do not go after big time quarterbacks. But Josh Allen landed on my roster, very cheap price because we do an auction draft, and so it was a great effort from Josh Allen. Got me 5 touchdown passes, but you know, he was my stud today. I have Mike Williams. You know, he did well for me. You know, he's pretty much my wide receiver one right now because I have Stephon Diggs, and he's not doing Stephon Diggs type of stuff. I mean, for Josh Allen to have 5 touchdowns and Stephon Diggs to have 0 is very frustrating. I lost my matchup. As of right now, I'm down by like 10 points. I have no other players going. And I'm recording this in the fourth quarter of the Sunday Night Football game. So he still has Trey Sermon and the Niners defense, which it doesn't really matter because I was already losing. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I got him on a down week. He lost Tua. He lost Deontay Johnson. And then, you know, I had to find a way to, you know, replace Antonio Brown, Dalvin Cook, and Daryl Henderson. And my team just lacks the upside and the firepower. I'm averaging about 150 points a game. In that league, that is not enough to win most games. Not when people are scoring above 150 points. You know, I'm pretty stuck on what to do. I mean, I feel like my team will get better as the season progresses. However, I may need to make some moves to balance out my team because I can't have a Josh Allen get 5 touchdowns and then Mac Jones gets me, you know, 3 interceptions. And from a rookie standpoint, he did better than Zach Wilson, who's on my bench. And then most of the rookie quarterbacks did not do well in week 3 anyways. So Mac Jones, in, you know, relevancy to that, he did decent. But it's really getting frustrating that I just can't find the traction to get a win, especially with a team that was decimated almost as bad as mine was. So next week I play another team that is definitely better than me, and I am seeing 0-4 in my future. unless they just have a bad, bad game. I just have one of these crazy upside games. But, man, it's just, you know, you don't ever want to panic when you're 0-3. I mean, you know, we still got a lot of, you know, a lot of, what was it, 10 games left, 11 games left in the season, depending if you're playing 16 or 17 weeks. We're only playing 16 weeks, so I got 10 games to get this right and hopefully make the playoffs. But it's not looking good. I need a miracle, man. I don't want to freak out right now, but there are times where people go winless and they go on a streak and they make the playoffs and win a championship. So I feel like my team will get better. My studs are not doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, Stephon Diggs is not doing what he's supposed to do. Dalvin Cook was injured. So I feel like if I had those guys, because Alexander Mattison had a really good game. So you just imagine if that was Derek, you know, or Dalvin Cook, I would have probably won this week. But it's so frustrating, you know, that to know that you probably had an easy game and then, you know, they put a patchwork team together and then I have to do the same and I just can't overcome it. So, oh, well, we'll see what happens next week. But there's my rant and venting for week three. But let's go on to some of the injury news that took place in week three. Let's start off with the Tennessee Titans. A.J. Brown, he exited the game with a hamstring injury. He did not return to the game. So that's something to monitor as well. Going throughout the week, more than likely he will miss week four. And then the Colts, this is a big, big deal because of the offensive line, but Quentin Nelson left the game on a cart. He was carted to the locker room due to a high ankle sprain. So that's definitely not good for somebody like Jonathan Taylor in that run game. And then especially protecting Carson Wentz. So that's going to be something to monitor as well. Hopefully he won't be out for too long, but that's a big, big blow to that offensive line. And then the Steelers wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, he's dealing with a rib injury. He was ruled out of the game pretty, you know, right after the injury, so he never returned, which is crazy to me because this is like the fifth or sixth rib injury already in the first 3 weeks, and I don't remember having this many players with rib injuries. So definitely a unique injury that's happened to a lot of players. And then both Giants wide receivers, Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton, left the game early in the game with hamstring injuries. They did not return, so that gave some... You know, Saquon Barkley had a decent game, and then Kenny Galladay had a decent game in their absence, but something to monitor as well because Sterling Shepard was the most reliable wide receiver on that team, and now he's out. And then the Patriots, I just mentioned this in my beginning of the podcast that James White was carted off the field with a hip injury. We don't know exactly the severity of it, but he was quickly ruled out, and he never returned. So as of right now, it's Sunday night on the West Coast, and I don't know exactly any updates on him. And then we got New York Jets wide receiver Elijah Moore. He suffered a concussion in the second half of the Jets Broncos game. He did not return, so something to monitor there. He'll go through the concussion protocol, and he's a guy that a lot of people wanted to pick up on the waiver wire this week just because of the opportunities there and just him getting more snaps and whatnot, but that may be delayed just because of the concussion. Hopefully he can play in week four. And then lastly, Bucks tight end Rob Gronkowski, he was dealing with a rib injury. He got hit pretty hard. The x-rays came back negative, so he returned to the game, so he's probably going to be dealing with some bruising. He'll probably wear some type of rib protector, you know, next week against the Patriots. But those are all the current news updates as of Sunday night. Now, you know, things will change once, you know, tests come back. They get their imaging done on Monday morning. They'll have updates, and then when I do my show for Tuesday, I'll have all those updates for you then. But that's all the current news as of right now. And now let's I always start off before my reactions. I always start off with the top plays of the week. I have to give credit where credit is due. And let's start off with the fastest ball carry for week three. And this actually happened on the Sunday night game. This was Trenton Cannon. He ran the ball 21.7 miles per hour on his 68-yard kickoff return. So he just got in there before I recorded this podcast. So he is the fastest ball carrier as of right now in week three. And then the longest play of week three came from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know if you watched this, but it was the Cardinals who went for, I think it was a 68-yard field goal attempt by Matt Prater. And Jamal Agnew was there to catch the short field goal attempt, and he went the whole distance. He went 109 yards on that touchdown, but he had to run 121.4 yards to get that. So crazy play. I don't remember the last time I saw a play like that. I think it was Cromartie was the last player that I saw do that. I think he was playing on the Chargers at that point, but that was a long time ago. That's the last time I remember something like that happening. And they go into the fastest sack for week three. This goes to Bobby Orecki. I don't know. That's his last name. He's the Colts middle linebacker. He sacked the quarterback in 2.44 seconds. So if I butcher your name, obviously I apologize, but Orecki. But yeah, that's who had the fastest sack for week three. And then let's go to the improbable completion. So this is where there was the lowest completion percentage probability. That went from that came from Kyler Murray to AJ Green. He had a 36-yard reception, and the completion probability percentage was 21.2%. So this week there was a little higher percentage rates of completion probabilities. Usually we want to see somewhere in like the single digits where it's a crazy catch, but that was the lowest percentage of this week. And then lastly, this is the remarkable rushes. So this is where a player gets more yards than expected, and this goes to Kareem Hunt. So Kareem Hunt was running the ball. He got a 29-yard rush, but he's only expected to get 4 yards, but he ran 25 yards over expected. So that has to be probably the longest run, because all these numbers are pretty low. Usually you'll see like a 70, like Derrick Henry last week, he was only supposed to get like 5 yards, but he ran a total of 60. So like, it's weird to see a play that was only expected to get 4 yards, and the over expected was 25 for a 29-yard gain. So that was the biggest play from the rushing standpoint for week three. And I always mention this is all provided by NextGen Stats. So I always like providing the top plays, because it's just fun to kind of see exactly stats like that. So, all right, let's go into the week three reactions. Okay, so I'm going to start with another game that pissed me off already. I'm going to start with the Bucks and Rams. So this was a game that I was nervous about. I felt like the Rams had our number last year with Jared Goff. I couldn't imagine what the game was going to be like this year with Matt Stafford. And the Rams did exactly what I anticipated. They just tore us up. I mean, it was a 34-24 loss. Tom Brady, he threw for a lot of yards. He threw for 432 yards and a touchdown. But this was the game that it was a big game for us and for the Rams. And just like last year, we just couldn't do enough to keep them off the field. We lost another corner in Jamal Dean, so that they were just picking on our rookie all day long. You know, you saw another big game from like Cooper Kupp. DeSean Jackson went off today. So it was just kind of frustrating. But Matthew Stafford had a massive game. He had 343 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, the Bucs had no rushing, right? The Tom Brady led the team in rushing. How many times have you said that ever, that Tom Brady led your team rushing? That's how awful the Bucs rushing attempts were today. It was just awful. Sony Michel, he ran the ball 20 times for 67 yards, so he had a pretty decent game against the Bucs defense. Wide receiver, like the Tampa Bay wide receiving stats, Mike Evans led with 8 catches for 106 yards. He had 10 targets. Chris Godwin was 6 for 74. He had a rushing touchdown. And then this was crazy. Giovanni Bernard was 9 for 51. He had 10 targets. So he led in targets with Mike Evans with 10 targets, which is crazy to me. But, you know, they're falling behind. They never played with the lead. Giovanni Bernard is their best wide receiver, you know, from a running back position. So, you know, that's pretty much gave Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette no upside at all. But like I said, Sean Jackson was 3 for 120 and a touchdown. He almost had 2 burners, and luckily Matthew Stafford was short on one of them. But Cooper Kupp, another big game, 9 for 96 for 2 touchdowns. Dude has 2 touchdowns in each of the first 3 games. He's on a tear right now. Tyler Higbee, he has some injury issues in this game. He went 5 for 40 with a touchdown. So if you played Tyler Higbee, it was a get right game for him. Overall, you got some pretty good fantasy points out of your Rams. And then, Tom Brady threw for a lot of yards, but this was not the typical games you would expect. It was a 34-24 game. You know, I would expected more out of the Bucs offense against this defense, but it is what it is. The Bucs got their loss. Now they go up to New England, and now I don't know if you've seen this on Sunday Night Football. There's like every commercial is about Tom Brady going back to the Patriots and playing that game in New England. They're talking about it all on Sunday Night Football. Like, I'm a Bucs fan, I'm a Brady fan, but are we really going to have to deal with this all week? Like, I understand it's a big deal, but like, do we really have to hear it and listen to it all week? Because that's going to be all over NFL Network and ESPN is the return of Tom Brady. And I get it, I'm for it, but you know, it's going to be a little too much in my opinion. And then as of right now, the Sunday Night Football game is currently 24-21. Packers are leading the 49ers. And honestly, Aaron Rodgers looks good. Aaron Jones looks good. Davante Adams looks good. Like, it looks like they're getting back on track. They had a bad game against the Saints in the week one, but the Packers are, they're doing what they have to do right now. Gets a good defense and a good team. Jimmy Garoppolo, as of right now, he has 182 yards passing. He has a touchdown and interception. Trey Sermon, he has 10 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. He didn't fumble on his first carry and get a concussion, so that's good. And Brandon Ayuk, he finally is, you know, getting some targets. He was 4 for 37 a touchdown currently, and you know, he's looking like he is finally out of the doghouse, so that's good for him. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he had a touchdown. He was 3 for 59 on 4 targets, but yeah, that game's still going on right now. It's about 5 minutes left, so we'll see what happens in the ending of that game. But it's moving on to the Bills versus the Washington football team. Bills easily won this one, 43-21. The main points about this, I mean, Josh Allen, massive game, threw for 358 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown. Antonio Gibson had a awesome reception for a touchdown. He had 73 yards. He went for 73 yards. He gave you 12 for 31 on the ground. Quiet game from Terry McLaurin. I guess if you're in PPR, you didn't really have a bad game. He was 4 for 62, but I have him in standard, so it was a pretty bad game for him because I had benched him. I had played him over DeAndre Swift in my flex. And then Zach Moss, he got more carries. He got 13 carries for 60 yards, and he got another three receptions for 31 yards and a touchdown. So he is almost looking like Zach Moss is starting to become the starter over Devin Singletary. He was a healthy scratch in week one. He got a couple touchdowns last week. He got another touchdown this week. It looks like Zach Moss may be taking the starting role soon. Another key point, it's a big game from Emmanuel Sanders, right? He was 5 for 94 and 2 touchdowns on 6 targets. You know, six receptions and 62 yards for Stephon Diggs off 10 targets. Like, this is what's frustrating is that I understand the Washington has a good defense and they're going to try to take away Stephon Diggs as much as possible. That's why you see a big game from like Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders. But still, I mean, he's so talented. Like, he should be able to create mismatches where if you think Josh Allen threw for 4 touchdowns, you're assuming one of them went to Stephon Diggs and it just didn't. So just kind of disappointed in that. But, you know, that's fantasy football for you. So moving on, let's go to the Browns versus the Bears. Browns won this game easily 26-6. I mean, Justin Fields did not look good. He only threw for 68 yards. Baker Mayfield, not too bad. He had 246 yards and a touchdown. Then he gave you another 4 carries and 31 yards on the ground. David Montgomery, quiet game from him. He had 10 carries for 34 yards, and he only gave you another 2 receptions for 21 yards. Nick Chubb, he got the majority of the carries, had 84 yards. But Kareem Hunt had 81 yards and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt had another 6 catches for 74 yards on 7 targets. Odell Beckham is first game back. He did decently, you know, 5 for 77. So, you know, the main thing about here is Myles Garrett, man. He had 4.5 sacks today. That's crazy. Like 6 QB hits. I mean, that if the Browns can, you know, if the Browns can continue to play like this, they're going to be hard to beat. If they can get that defense right and get some of their offensive firepower back, you know, get Jarvis Landry back, you know, and start getting healthier as the season progresses. I mean, this is going to be a good team. But overall, just bad game from the Bears. And, you know, there's some news that, like, Justin Fields hurt his hand, but then he's coming out saying his hand felt fine. So something to monitor there just with Justin Fields. Now, moving on to the Ravens versus the Lions. Now, Ravens won this game 19-7 due to Justin Tucker hitting a NFL record 66-yard field goal. I don't know if you saw this game, but he kicked the ball, hit the crossbar, and then bounced up and then felt good. I mean, this was you expect it, right? Lions fans, right? Like, this is just the curse of being a Lions fan. Like, everything happens negatively to the Lions. And this is another thing. Like, that could have bounced easily the Lions' favor and then beat the Ravens. And, you know, it just didn't fall their way, obviously. And no pun intended. But, you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, he had 287 yards and a touchdown. Jared Goff, he threw for 217 yards with no touchdowns, no interceptions. Lamar Jackson, you know, 58 yards on the ground. Bad game for Tyson Williams. He used 5 carries for 22 yards. DeAndre Swift had a pretty good game. I mean, he had 14 carries for 47 yards and a touchdown. Jamal Williams had a touchdown, but DeAndre Swift gave you 7 catches for 60 yards. So from a PPR standpoint, he had a very, very good game. So it's good to see him have a good game because he is a very talented running back. So it's good to see him, you know, he's dealing with some groin injuries, but good to see him have a good game, even though he's dealing with some injuries. Another noted, you know, good game was Mark Andrews. He was 5 for 109. So if you played Mark Andrews, you're happy with that. But overall, that's what I'm gonna say. Marquise Brown, he dropped 3 touchdown passes. If they had lost this game today, it would be because of Marquise Brown. I mean, it was wide open, easily, you know, catchable balls, and he just dropped them. So luckily enough, they won, but that was by far not a good sight to see. And now moving on to the Colts versus the Titans. Titans won this game 25-16. Overall, just pretty quiet fantasy-wise. I mean, Carson Wentz had a quiet game. Ryan Tannehill, I mean, he was good. He had 197 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had, you know, 56 yards on the ground. Derrick Henry had a good game rushing. He had 113 yards, but he didn't give you a touchdown today. That went to Jeremy McNichols had a touchdown. Nick Westbrook had another touchdown. And then Mecole Pruitt had a touchdown. So guys that you ain't heard of had touchdowns. AJ Brown left this game early with a hamstring injury. So he only had 1 carry for 3 yards and no catches. Jonathan Taylor, he had 10 carries for 64 yards. Naheem Hines, he got you a touchdown today. I doubt you played him. Michael Pittman Jr., not bad from a fantasy football standpoint. From PPR standpoint, he was 6 for 68 on 12 targets. So he continues to be the number one wide receiver for the Colts. But after AJ Brown went down, Julio Jones, I mean, not, you expect Julio Jones to step up and be the lead dog there, but he only had 3 catches for 47 yards. So pretty quiet, even though AJ Brown was out of that game early with an injury, he didn't do much. So overall, you know, that's pretty much my reaction to that. The Chiefs versus the Chargers. This was a good game. I watched this game mostly, and you know, I don't know what's going on with the Chiefs, man. The Chiefs, you know, lose at home, 30-24, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with them, but Patrick Mahomes, I mean, you know, he gave you a Patrick Mahomes type of game. He gave you 260 yards and 3 touchdowns. So from a fantasy standpoint, Patrick Mahomes was fine. But Justin Herbert, I mean, he looked awesome. I mean, 281 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally had a good game. He had 100 yards on the ground. He gave you a receiving touchdown. Austin Eckler, he gave you 55 yards on the ground, another 52 yards in the air and a touchdown. But I think the main point here is how good Justin Herbert looks. And then Mike Williams. Mike Williams had 7 catches for 122 yards and 2 touchdowns on 9 targets. Keenan Allen was 8 for 50 on 12 targets and a touchdown. So I don't know. This is Mike Williams season. You know, if you're able to get him, if he's somehow on your waiver wire still, you need to pick him up and pay fab for him because this guy is having a monster season. But a quiet game on the other side of the ball, a quiet game for Tyreek Hill. He was 5 for 56. Travis Kelce had another Travis Kelce type game. He was 7 for 104. Mecole Hardman was 3 for 33 and a touchdown. So, you know, it's one of those games where the Chiefs just people are not afraid of the Chiefs anymore. They know how to play the Chiefs, and the Chargers have just as much firepower on offense right now. And I think that's the hard thing about it is that, you know, they have a slightly better defense than the Chiefs, and that's what showed. But, you know, great game overall. Now let's move on to the Saints versus the Patriots. The Saints won this game 20-13. You know, I mean, there's not really much to talk about here, right? I mean, Jameis Winston, 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. Mac Jones, he threw the ball 51 times, had 270 yards, a touchdown, and 3 interceptions. I mean, some of the interceptions were not his fault. The ball got, you know, like Jonnu Smith the ball hit off his hand, caught for interception. And even his touchdown pass was like a prayer type of touchdown pass. But they need, Mac Jones has a tough task next week against the Bucs. And I don't know. It's going to be hard to have to, I have to choose between him or Zach Wilson next week. Like, that is not a good position to be in. But, you know, Alvin Kamara, he had an Alvin Kamara type game. You know, he was, you know, 24 carries for 89 yards. He gave you a touchdown receiving. He had a 3 catches for 29 yards. So better game out of Alvin Kamara. Taysom Hill continues the vulture of carries. He had 6 carries for 32 yards and a touchdown. Marquez Callaway, he was 4 for 41 and a touchdown. Let's see. Damian Harris, he gave you 6 carries for 14 yards. So nothing out of him. You know, receiving wise for the Patriots, Kendrick Bourne had a good game. He was 6 for 96 and a touchdown. Jacoby Myers was 9 for 94. He had 14 targets. So Jacoby Myers seems to, you know, continue to be the number one guy for the Patriots. But overall, just a very quiet fantasy game. Nothing special about that game. Now moving on to the Falcons versus the Giants. Falcons won this game with a last minute field goal, 17-14, to beat the Giants. And, you know, overall, I mean, Daniel Jones, he's looking better and better, right? Daniel Jones, he didn't give you any touchdowns today, but he looks better. Just put it that way. He just looks better this year. Matt Ryan, he was 243 yards and 2 touchdowns. Daniel Jones gave you 266 yards, but with no touchdowns or interception, he gave you another 39 yards on the ground. Mike Davis gave you 12 carries for 50 yards. Saquon Barkley, 16 carries for 51 yards and a touchdown. He gave you another 6 catches for 43 yards. So this was the a good indication of Saquon Barkley. He gave you about over like 20-something PPR points today. So this is one of those games where you're like, okay, is this the beginning of Saquon Barkley getting back to what Saquon Barkley does? So we will see. From a wide receiver standpoint, Cordarrelle Patterson, he led it the Falcons with 6 catches for 82 yards. He gave you another 7 carries for 20 yards on the ground. Let's see. Kenny Galladay, he was 6 for 64. So, I mean, Evan Ingram, this was his first game of the year. He was 2 for 21. Then he lost a fumble. So just a lot of, I think if they, you know, obviously stay healthy, I think Daniel Jones has a couple touchdowns and they win this game. But overall, just kind of an ugly game. Now moving on to the Bengals versus Steelers. Now this was the last time you saw that happen where the Steelers lost to the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals, they're looking good. You know, Joe Burrow, he had 3 touchdown passes today. Big Ben did not look good. I'm not sure if he's still dealing with that pec injury. Joe Mixon, he gave you 9 yards on the ground. Not bad. Najee Harris, he gave you 40 yards on the ground. But the key thing about Najee Harris today, he had 19 targets. He had 14 receptions on 102 yards and 19 targets. Then Chase Claypool was 9 for 96 on 15 targets. Now, you can contribute that for Juju being out of the game, then Deontay Johnson not playing. So it's very interesting to kind of see that happen. I can't remember last time a running back got 19 targets. I would have to look that up, but that has to be some type of or closer to a record. Jamar Chase, you know, this dude is looking good. 4 for 65 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he scored a touchdown every week so far. Tyler Boyd had a touchdown, so overall, you know, this was a good game for the Bengals and just a good statement game, you know, against a, you know, it's a decimated Steelers team, but you know, this is a tough division, and the Bengals are no slouches anymore. I mean, they got some good players, so good win for them. Now moving on to the Cardinals versus the Jags. This was definitely an ugly game. Kyler Murray, you know, he did not look good. He finally came down earth a little bit, right? He gave you a touchdown on the ground, but he had 316 yards passing and an interception. Trevor Lawrence, man, he does not look good. 219 yards passing, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. He has, what, 7 interceptions so far this year, and that is not good for the number one overall pick. I mean, all rookie quarterbacks have not looked good. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know if it's just, did we overhype their skill set? Are they, I mean, obviously they're rookie quarterbacks, so it takes time for them to get used to the game. I get that. So I'm not going to just, you know, call it off all right now, but I would expect Trevor Lawrence to be a little bit better, a little more careful with the ball. But man, it's just not looking good so far with Trevor Lawrence. James Conner, he gave you 2 touchdowns on the ground today. He's the goal line back. with Chase Edmonds being more of the receiving back. James Robinson had a good game. He had 15 carries for 88 yards and a touchdown. AJ Green had 5 catches for 112 yards. Christian Kirk was 7 for 104. I mean, when was the last time you saw AJ Green lead any receiving stat of the game, right? Like, that's crazy to me. Good for him, though. Marvin Jones continues to be the leader for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was 6 for 62. However, DJ Chark did get you a touchdown today. He was 3 for 49 and a touchdown. But overall, I mean, this game could have easily been a win for the Jags if they just were able to protect the ball a little bit more. But unfortunately, it didn't happen for them. So they dropped to 0-3 for the year. Now moving on to the Jets versus the Broncos. Broncos won this game easily, 26-0. I mean, honestly, that's really not that much to talk about here. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, I mean, Michael Carter led in carries, 9 for 24, but that's not really anything to really talk about. He had 2 catches for 5 yards. Let's see, Melvin Gordon, 18 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown. Javonte Williams, 12 carries for 29 yards and a touchdown. He had a fumble as well. Let's see, Tim Patrick, he was 5 for 98. Cortland Sutton had a big game last week, but then did nothing this week. He was 5 for 37. And then Noah Fant was 2 for 15. I mean, just not very good fantasy. This is not an exciting game. I mean, they won good for the Broncos because they're, 3-0 now. But, like, man, just not from a fantasy standpoint, just not a very statistical game. Let's move on to the Raiders versus the Dolphins. Raiders win this game in overtime. Good for them. I mean, they won 31-28 against the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins were not playing with Tua, so Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback. He didn't do nothing in the air much. He got a rushing touchdown at the end of the game. Malcolm Brown got the touchdown rushing. Miles Gaskin led the team in carries, but then Brown got the touchdown. Derek Carr, he had 386 yards and 2 touchdowns. Peyton Barber, 23 carries for 111 yards and a touchdown. So everyone's like, play Kenyon Drake. And then Peyton Barber comes in here and leads with 23 carries. I mean, I just don't get John Gruden. I don't understand it. But Peyton Barber, you know, he's a talented running back. He was on the Bucs for a couple years, and I always liked Peyton Barber. But it's just interesting to have all these guys. And then you have, obviously, Josh Jacobs is out, but Kenyon Drake is definitely, in my eyes, more talented than Peyton Barber. But then Peyton Barber gets the bulk of the carries. From the receiving standpoint, Mike Gesicki, he led with 10 receptions for 86 yards on 12 targets. Jalen Waddle had 12 catches for 58 yards. You see Brian Edwards for the Raiders. He had 3 catches for 89 yards on 5 targets. Henry Ruggs, 4 for 78 on 7 targets. Then Hunter Renfrow, 5 for 77 in one touchdown. Quiet game from Darren Waller, not your usual Darren Waller game, but if you're on PPR format, it's not too bad. He was 5 for 54. The Raiders are a team that I actually like seeing win. They're fun to watch. I just like their history. There's a few teams that I just like watch play, and the Raiders are one of them. And I like Gruden. Gruden used to coach the Bucs, obviously. So I like Derek Carr. I like the Raiders. My barber's a Raiders fan. So, I have no, it's fun to watch the Raiders actually do well, especially in that division. Because right now they lead the division with the Chiefs, or not the Chiefs, with the Chargers right now. And the Broncos, so, like, the Chiefs are in last place. Whoever thought that? I mean, it's only 3 weeks, but, like, who thought all the teams in that division are going to be three? I'm sorry, the Chargers are not 3-0, they're 2-1. But you got the Raiders and the Broncos leading the division, then the Chargers, and then the Chiefs. Never saw that coming. All right, let's move on to the last game of the week, and that is the Seahawks versus the Vikings. And the Vikings won this game 30-17. I live in Seattle, and I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty nice to see them lose. They lost 30-17, and they just don't look good. Their defense is awful. I don't know what to say about it, but I mean, Kirk Cousins, another good game of Kirk Cousins. He was 323 yards and 3 touchdowns. Russell Wilson, he gave you about 300 yards and a touchdown. I don't know. It's just weird. The Seahawks are hard to figure out. They ran the ball well. I mean, Chris Carson had 12 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. And then on the Vikings side of the ball, Alexander Mattison, 26 carries for 112 yards. Great game from him. I wish that was Dalvin Cook instead, but I'm not bitter. From the receiver standpoint, DK Metcalf, great game. six receptions for 107 yards and a touchdown on 9 targets. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Tyler Lockett, he injured his knee. He did not return to the game. He did give you 4 catches for 31 yards, but looks like he's dealing with the MCL sprain. So something to monitor as well for Tyler Lockett. Justin Jefferson, good game from him. He was 9 for 118 and a touchdown. The tight end, Tyler Conklin, he was 7 for 70 with a touchdown. So Adam Thielen had a touchdown. I mean, so far Adam Thielen scored a touchdown every single game. So as of right now, just the Vikings are finally get their first win of the season, and the Seahawks have an uphill battle dealing with the Rams, the 49ers, and the Cardinals in that division. I mean, there's little room for error, and they need to really step it up and figure things out. But that's my reactions to all the games for week 3. We still got a Monday Night Football game. We still got to get the Cowboys versus the Eagles, which would be a fun game to watch in Dallas. So let's move on to my last segment, and that's the 5 most impressive players of the week and the 5 most disappointing. This is my perspective and my opinion. I think the top 5 players that stood out for me today was Josh Allen. You know, in my scoring format, he scored 46.06 fantasy points. Like that, he had 5 total touchdowns, massive game from him. Justin Herbert, he had 39.72 fantasy points. You know, he had 4 touchdowns total, great game from him. I gave Kareem Hunt some love today. He had 27.5 PPR points. You know, the reason why he's on this list, because he does so much with little bit of, he's very efficient, right? He does a lot with a little, and it's cool to see Kareem Hunt doing well. He's one of, you know, he's a guy that I had as a rookie when he was on the Chiefs. I have an autographed jersey from Kareem Hunt. So like, you know, he's a guy that I always kind of pay attention to. So I gave him some love this week. Then Mike Williams, gave him some love. You know, he, as of right now, has led all the wide receivers in PPR points right now at 33.2, barring any type of game out of the rest of Devontae Adams or anybody from Monday night. But as of right now, he is the lead wide receiver, so some love for him. And then Cooper Kupp, again, he had 30.6 PPR points, 2 touchdowns again today. Just unstoppable right now. That team looks really good. So the Rams are just on a roll. And now going on to my 5 most disappointing. I'm going to give this to the number 1 spot goes to Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. I mean, 2 rookie quarterbacks that were the 2 quarterbacks that were drafted high in the draft, this past draft. And I don't know what the get right situation is for them. I don't know. Do you give them more shorter passes? Are you able to let them scramble a little more, like create plays that allow them to slow the game down, get some quick, you know, confidence and quick throws? I mean, I'm not an NFL coach, but like still, like these guys are super talented and they got talent around them, and it's just not working out for them. So we'll see what happens in week 4, but it's just one of those things where you would like to see these rookie quarterbacks do better than what they're doing. And Jonathan Taylor, he was disappointed today. Jonathan Taylor so far has not lived up to his top. He was ranked, 6 consensus from the consensus standpoint. He was like the RB6 in most drafts. He's not playing like that. I mean, this is kind of what we were afraid of and overhyping him, because he's talented and he gets opportunities, but like that team right now is just not doing well, and he's just not getting the opportunities. Like you're seeing Nyheim Hines score touchdowns and all that stuff. And I do know that Jonathan Taylor has got a lot of carries within, you know, near the goal line. He's just not converting them. But still, I mean, Jonathan Taylor has so far is not lived up to expectations. And I mentioned this earlier, Marquise Brown, he's on my 5 most disappointing list because he dropped 3 touchdown passes. I mean, how can you not make this list? You know, it's like he's having a great season so far, and it'll continue if he just would have scored and not dropped those touchdown passes. But it is what it is. And then Stephon Diggs, I gave Stephon Diggs some hate here too, because, you know, he's just not looking like the player that you drafted. I mean, just like Jonathan Taylor, Stephon Diggs, you know, he was a guy that was drafted ranked very low last year, and he was a top 5 wide receiver at the end of the season. And then he was ranked in the consensus standpoint, 3, and right now he's just not living up to that. So Stephon Diggs this week is on my 5 most disappointing list. And lastly, this goes to the tight end TJ Hockenson of the Lions. He had 2 catches for 10 yards today. And the reason why this is disappointing, because the Ravens are worse against the tight end from a fantasy football standpoint. So you'd expected them to exploit that a little bit more. But the Lions really don't have a lot of perimeter help, right? So TJ Hockenson is the guy that they go to. And so that being the case, they're going to go ahead and just do what they can to stop one guy. And, you know, Jonnu Smith had a good game, but Hockenson just did not deliver like he usually did so far this season. So those are my five most impressive, five most disappointing for week three. Don't forget, we have the Cowboys versus the Eagles on Monday night. And that's it for today. That's the reaction show. I'll be back tomorrow, or I'm sorry, Tuesday for my waiver wire pickups for week three, or I'm sorry, for week four. I don't anticipate there being a lot of players right now. There just wasn't a lot going on. Most players are picked up and whatnot. So I'll do my best to get the best list out that for players that are available for week four. But if you have any questions, please send me a message on Instagram at @GridironFantasyFootball, and I'll be happy to help you out with any questions you have. And also, you know, please do me a favor, you know, please like, comment, and share the podcast, the YouTube channel. It really helps us grow. So just hit subscribe so you don't miss any more episodes, especially the waiver wire shows, because those are the most important episodes of the week. But if you want to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, we're at the Gridiron Pod. And like I said, we're on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasyfootball. So that's it for today. Hope that you guys can win your week, unlike me. Hopefully you don't need too much to beat your opponent if you have anybody going for Monday Night Football. But hopefully you get that win and continue on and get one step closer to the playoffs. So that's it for today. Good luck, and we'll see you tomorrow.